Today we're going to talk about models that God doesn't want us to be. We were talking about top model, and we were talking about modeling joy. We were talking about modeling good works. Then we were talking about modeling with our appearances, right? How we look, okay? So we don't look like the world, but we look modest and all those things. And today, I'm going to read out of Luke chapter 15, verse 11. I can't wait till Sunday. I mean, I usually like, I'm just like anxious to be on Sunday morning here. So God is going to do something through His Word now. Because Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In the last few weeks, I've been dealing with something. It hasn't been so much sin that I've been dealing with, but with my attitude. You know, a lot of times you're not dealing with sin, but it's an attitude that we deal with that could produce sin. Attitude is not sin yet, but it could produce sin. And so I was kind of struggling, and I kind of faced a controversy, a great controversy in my spirit. I was torn apart on the inside. And I thank God for that, you know, because whenever we go through trial, whenever we have a little bit uncomfortable place that we go through, God reveals something great and awesome to us. Whenever a husband and wife go through a little debate, we call it, there's always something good comes out of it if people don't just leave without solving it. I told somebody during a counseling session, I said, me and my wife one time, we fought for 4 hours, argued in a car, and we said, we're not leaving till this is solved. We were arguing in a car for 4 hours. And finally, we said, God, we're not leaving here till you give us a breakthrough. And finally, like, in the end of 4 hours, something clicked in our heads. Oh, we're fighting about different things. Guys, after that moment, that was last year. In about November, we went to Rapid City, remember? We were good pastors already then. Okay? But after that year, I mean, 75% of things we fought for were gone. Yeah. See, a lot of times we want peace at any cost. But Bible says when you're angry, do not sin. But it doesn't say don't be angry. And it says if your brother sins against you, you go and tell him. Don't keep it on the inside of you and make it be so bad to the point where you say, I don't want to be friends with you anymore. It starts with something small, right? It goes, becomes big. So don't do that. There is biblical ways that we can deal with these things. Now let's read a story of a prodigal son. Okay? Story of a prodigal son. Because this few weeks I've been feeling like an older brother of a prodigal son. Okay? And maybe some of you feel the same way. I want the long time churchgoers to be very careful today to make sure you receive this message. This message is specially for you. Let's read it. Then Jesus said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. I want is not a biblical phrase. Did you know that? When you say, I want something, it's not biblical. In Greek, it actually means, I am poor, I lack, I'm in trouble, I am broke. So when you say, I want something, listen to me careful, churchgoers. When you say, I want, you say, I'm broke. You say, lack. Okay? So let's just keep reading. Never say that word, I want something. Bible says, express your desires to God.
in prayer.
Believe that you have received, and then you shall have it. When you say, I want, see how devil tricks people of God? You got to watch your language. What exactly are you saying? Because when you say, I want a house, you say, I'm poor and broke, and in spiritual world understands the words you're saying. How many of you ever said, I love pizza? Yeah. Well, you know, that word messes everything up when you say, I love pizza. I love my wife. I love my brother. But when you say, I love my car, that's a different love. But see, devil wants to diminish the word love to mean just like, pretty much. I like. So this is the same thing, I want, means I'm in lack. So don't say to God, God, I want this. Because God wants us to speak in faith. He wants us to speak, God, I come to you and I pray for this thing right here. I ask you to give this to me. And then you say, God, I believe that you heard me. That settles it. Then you say, God, I believe that I have received. And then you begin to confess, I already got it. You remember the story of Yonggi Cho? Anybody here? Okay, the story of Yonggi Cho is this. He began to read this scripture and he said, I'm going to practice this. And so he was living in a little apartment, like 12 by 10. That was his apartment. That's how small it was in South Korea. And he said, okay, I'm going to practice this. So he started praying. He said, Lord, I need a chair, a table, a bed, and a bicycle. And then he said, okay, you've heard me. I believe that I've got it. And he said, I have it now. So next day he comes to church and he starts preaching a powerful message. He says to people, listen up, people. God did something miraculous for me yesterday. I prayed for a bicycle, for a chair, for a table, and for a mattress. And I got it. I really got it. God really answers prayer. So he left. He preached. And he was going to go home. And few guys, you know, there are some guys in church, that man in church who want to see for sure. Those are the doubting Thomases. And they come after him and start running to him. He wanted to leave right away so nobody would really question him. Because there's nothing in the house. He didn't receive it yet. So he's walking home and these men, these guys, the young guys, run up to him. And he's young himself, in his early 20s. He says, we want to come see what God gave you. Where is this bicycle? Where is this American bicycle? Where is this chair? Office chair that you were talking about. And he's like, well, it's in my house. So they're like, okay, we want to come see. We don't believe it. We want to see. And he's like, uh-oh. What am I going to do now? And so they walk to his house and he's hoping there's going to be some kind of a miracle. Until he gets back, he's believing that there's going to be chair, there's going to be table, bicycle, and a cow, and a mattress. They walk in the room, and it's a miserable, dark, small, concrete room. And there's nothing there. They're like, you lied to us, man. What kind of pastor are you? You lied to us. And he's like, Lord, what should I do? And then something comes to his brain. He says, when a woman is pregnant in the first 10 days, do you see that she's pregnant? They're like, no. Is the baby there? He says, well, I'm pregnant with my bicycle, with my chair. Within 3 months, he had his bicycle, his chair, he had his table, and way more than he could ask or think. Our faith is like a mustard seed. Mustard seed is not supposed to be just carried in the pocket. Mustard seed is supposed to be planted and is supposed to grow. That's how faith is, people of God. What do you believe in God for? If you're believing for a house, if you're believing for marriage, In God's time, whenever you're ready. But listen to what I'm saying. Whatever you believe in God to do in your life, this word is a bag of seed. You remember the Bible says, the sower sows the word, and it falls upon the heart, and then it grows, and it produces 30, 60, and 100 fold. So take whatever you need. If you have financial problems, this word has seed for financial solutions. And you, when you begin to plant it in your heart, how do you plant a word of God in your heart? Three ways. By hearing. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, right? So when you hear the word of God, not just when you read it, when you hear it. Whenever you see it. So when you look at scriptures and you see it. Whenever you look in the spiritual world and see yourself being debt free. Whenever you see yourself being healed. You want to share? Whenever you see yourself being married. That scene. And then the third way is speaking. Three things how you plant the word of God. Because remember, Satan comes. Whenever you plant the word, he wants to steal it, right? Right? So what you have to do is you have to keep and protect it and have it grow. How do you protect the seed? You don't allow anything to eat it up or cut it down. Well, doubt will eat up your seed. Anxiety will pull out your seed, your plant. How do you water your plant? By coming to church and worshiping God, you water your seed. Yeah. You water it because in worship, this living water comes down into our spirits. By confessing it. When you say, I'm not in debt anymore. I am debt free right now. Or, I got my spouse prepared for me. That's it. It's over. I am blessed. I'm the head and not the tail. So you have to confess the word of God in your life. Because whatever we say, that's what we will have. If we say, I'm stupid, I'm no good for nothing. Guess what? That's exactly what you're going to be. If you believe negative things about yourself, that's what you will speak. And whatever you speak will come to pass in your life. So I'm speaking this. This church is full already. And we have two services. 11:15 and 1:30. I'm confessing that people are healed in this church. I'm confessing already. Why do you think I repeat that we'll be raising stars so much? Because whatever I say, I will have and I will see. Whatever you say, you will have and you will see in your life. Why am I saying there's going to be millionaires in this church? Because I believe it. And I'm going to see it. Because what God wants us to do in the future, the buildings that He wants us to build, the projects that He wants us to do, the musicals that He wants us to put on for the whole city to see, those cost money. And someday I want to see 1 million people come to Jesus through my life. When I die, that's what I want to hear you say, or some of you. Pastor Alex, because of his life, 1 million people were saved. Start from the beginning, from the end, and then go from the beginning again. Hallelujah. God wants to do great things in your life, people. But if you think you're a loser, you can't do it. God can only move as much as you can believe. Let's say you believe this much. That's how much God can do. But if you believe more, that's how much God can do. If you believe way crazy, that's how much God can do. God cannot bypass your intellect and your mind. He cannot bypass your faith. He can only do what you can believe. And I believe there's going to be stars in this church. This church will be 1,500 people before I go in my own ministry. Hallelujah. I believe there's going to be 100 stars raised, national stars from this church in my lifetime. 100 national people. That's politicians, that's scientists, that's musicians, and especially musicians and singers. That's what I believe. There's going to be millionaires, because if you become a millionaire, you become a star. People start looking up to you. Obviously, government will want to take a lot of that from you, but it's okay. God can bless you beyond that. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Now, it's not going to happen in a day or two, but it is happening already. Young businessmen are rising up in this church, are doing crazy things already. And they're just in the beginning stages. Guys, God wants to do crazy things. You know what the world likes to do? When people get successful in the world, it's for their own pleasure. I want to have more sex. I want to bang more women. I want to drink and do drugs. Sorry for that. I want to be so rich. I want to be able to do what I want and have lawyers. I want to do whatever I want and get out of it. I want to have power. I want to control people. Bible says the wealth of the wicked is for their own destruction. But did you notice what God did for Israel? What was the assignment of Israel? It was not to get more sin in their life. It's not to worship Baal and commit sexual acts on the altar of Baal. But it was to be fruitful and to multiply. God says, I want you to be rich so you can be a blessing. You know what, believers? Our focus and our excitement should never be more sin, more power, more glory. It should be, I want to be so blessed so I can bless so many more people. If you look at Jewish people, what are they known for? Money. Success in money. We're Jews. He who is in Christ is a true Jew. God wants to raise people like that in the church. So never limit yourself. Never say, I have enough. I'm satisfied. But say, Lord, what else can I do? How can I help other people? I just don't want to be blessed myself. I want to be a blessing for others. Oh, I'm preaching today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is tired of small dreams. God is tired of people waiting for an entitlement. What can the government do for me? God says, what? What about me? I can do exceedingly abundantly above that all that you can ask or think. Did you forget about me? If only you can believe. If your only faith is in the government, oh, I feel bad for you. You know, right now people think that politician McCain or Barack Obama can help us. Nobody can help you. Only God can do great things through you. Politicians, you know, they all tell you so much. They make so many promises. But only God can do it in your life. And so guys, we're not in this church Democrats or Republicans. We're kingdom people. Ha ha ha. Bible says, seek kingdom of God and all these things. And kingdom of heaven is like a business man or a woman. Ha! Ha! Hallelujah. Guys, God can help you. God can raise you up. Yesterday I was meditating in my room, and God started talking to me about, what do you want me to do? And he said, and I'm like, well, this and this. He says, get a pen and write it down. And when I started writing down what I wanted to accomplish in my life, and God spoke to me and said to me, write down as though you died and people were talking about you at your funeral. What would you want them to say? And I started writing. He said, what did you want it career-wise? What did you want it to achieve? What kind of parent would you want to be? What kind of husband would you want to be? What would people want to say about? What would you want people say about you? And then he started to me. He said, start from the end and then go back to beginning and fulfill that. That's what God wants us to do. That's why he shows us things in the future. And then he says, now let's begin to accomplish that. There's great minds in this church. There's great people in this church. Because you didn't become a Christian to be a loser. You became a Christian to be a winner. Hallelujah. Stop thinking what devil tells you about you. That you're no good for nothing. You wasted your life. God cannot do anything. Yes, he can. Oh, that's a political slogan. Don't they say, yes, we can? Yes, he can. Come on, can we say it? Yes, he can. Come on, say it again. One more time. Yes, he can. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, God is talking today through my lips. Thank you, Lord. Oh, and then Paul says, yes, we can. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All things. All things. What is your destiny? What did God design you to accomplish in this world? You can do it. I want to give you an assignment. When you go home, lock yourself in a closet. Take a pencil and pen and a pad of paper or whatever. And write down, if you were to die, let's say, how many years do you want to live? You can put that and then say, you died. And now people are at your funeral. They can't see you, but your spirit is there. What would you want them to say about you? About your family, about your business, about your... What would you want to accomplish in this life? Write it down. Laminate it. Put it on your mirror and then start from the beginning, from today, and live it out. And let it be your goal. Anybody have any questions? When I started writing, oh my goodness, I saw it. I saw it. That's why I'm so excited today. I saw what God is going to do in this church. I saw what he's going to do in my life. I saw what he's going to do with my wife and children. I said, I want to be a dad that my children are proud of. I said, I want to be a husband that my wife said, this guy helped me enjoy life. That's the kind of husband I want to be. Write down exactly what you want to be in this life. Search your heart. Search your spirit. In your DNA, everything has been written already. God says, he knows your end from the beginning. So if he knows it, he reveals it to us. So as you go into your secret closet, as you begin to ask God, what do I want to do in this life? He will show you. Hallelujah. And then you can live knowing your purpose. A lot of you right now, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm living day to day. I hope government can give me more money. Well, I'm thinking the opposite. I hope government will not take more money from me. So everybody here in the church has their own, you know, way of thinking. But go in your secret closet. Get together and write what you want out of life. And I can guarantee you will accomplish everything you write and more. Because God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So everything you think God can do in your life, God says, I'm going to make it so much greater than you can think. But you do need to think. Amen. People of God, don't be lazy. Satan wants us to be lazy so we can miss out on our destiny. God wants us to do so much for him. He wants our life to count for something. Something great. Most people never achieve even 10% of their potential. I want to achieve more than average. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we come to God. That's why we meet in church. So we can encourage one another. and say, hey, you can do it. You know what Pastor Peace is all about when we go and hug one another? That's for us telling, hey, you can do it. I believe you can do it. God is working in you, encouraging one another. Hallelujah. One more thing. This church is going to be a multiracial church. International. There's going to be in leadership. Our leadership is going to be multiracial. It's not just going to be, you know, Pastor Alex, and his crew and his closest. No, this church is going to look like heaven. You know what heaven looks like? All tribes, all nations, all colors, all people. Now, I might like what my culture, you know, and you might like what your culture, but in heaven we're going to have to be all together. God wants to do that here now. We're going to practice it here. We're going to raise up white people, black people, Native American people, Chinese, Mexican, all kinds. Hallelujah. I'm just giving a vision for our church then. And we all have to be a part of this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know the story of a prodigal son, but I'm just going to read it for you and then we're going to finish. So this son goes and spends his money, his father's money. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with pods and a swine that swine ate. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread and to spare? And I perish with hunger. Verse 18. I will rise up, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He came in to his father, but when he saw a great distance away, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And then they began to be merry and dancing and partying. Verse 25. Now his oldest son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things mean. And he said to him, your brother has come. Because he received him safe and sound, your father has killed a calf. And he got angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, listen, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandments at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might take and make merry with my friends. But as soon as this your son came, who has devoured your livelihood with prostitutes, you killed a fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Hallelujah. This week I felt like the oldest brother. A lot of times I try so hard to live a pure life. A lot of you older Christians try to live a pure life. And there are some people in the world who just in and out of sin. In and out, in and out. And you get angry and you're like, God, how can you love them? How can you do this, God? How can you, every time they come back, you kill a calf for them. And we're supposed to be glad? There's people like that. Amen? We know some people who were just in and out of sin, in and out, in and out. We want to say to God, God, I'm working so hard here to keep my life pure. I don't ask you for many things. And here this son of yours, not even my brother anymore. Notice, he didn't call him my brother. He said, a son of yours. He was living with prostitutes and you forgive him so easy. And this week I had a struggle, people. I was so angry at some people because some people, you know, you preach to them, you minister to them, and then they fall still. And then they start justifying themselves saying, you know, God loves me still. The bigger my trial, the more, you know, God is going to use me. And you're like, you prodigal son, you want to call him, you know? And I was so angry at God, with God, this week. To the point where I was stressed out. I was like, man. And God spoke to me with a soft voice. He said, imagine you having 10 sons. Can I have a few guys come out here quickly? Just all stand in line kind of like this. I feel the Spirit of God is moving in this place. Let's say these were my sons. He was the prodigal. Just fall down on the floor. He's with the pigs up there, you know. And pigs are eating everything and he has nothing to eat. But he's my son. How long would you think a father would pray and hope and believe for his son to come back before he would abandon him? How long before you would abandon your son or daughter? Let's say they were messed up. Let's say my son, and this is not going to happen because I'm teaching him the right way. I'm speaking this by faith, not by pride. Let's say he fell away. How long would I pray? Would I disown him after a year? 2 years? 20 years? How long should I be patient with him? True father that loves would be patient till the end of his life, always believing and always hoping that this son of his will come back. Now the brothers, on the other hand, sometimes become so religious, so self-righteous, where we are ready to kick him away and say, hey, you're a sinner, you're dirty, you're filthy, we don't need you. This is our house now. And that's how I was feeling. I was feeling, God, how can you keep forgiving people? And God says, because when, if you had a child, you would forgive him too. That's how God looks at people. A lot of us have been in church for so long that we are kind of serving God, not because we are sons, but because we're slaves. That's why we call him not our brother, but your son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If only our church, if only all these people had this kind of compassion. If only we had compassion for the people who are lost out there. And people are struggling out there. They want to do good. Then they fall. They get up and fall. And a lot of times we want to give up on them and say, Father, there's nothing you can do with this person. And God is not pleased with those kind of, that kind of reaction. Listen to what he said. So he said to his father, this proud oldest son, these many years I've served you. God is not looking so much for servants. He's not served by human hands, Bible says. Although we should serve because we want to. But this man was serving like a slave. This young oldest son was serving like a slave. That's why he was so upset. So many years I've served you. I never transgressed your commandments at any time. Is that true? Is that true that he would never transgress commandment? No, he didn't. Maybe he didn't transgress the big ones, but there is no one perfect. So this boy was acting a little bit self-righteous. But notice, Father overlooks that. This is called the blinding effects of servanthood. The blinding effects of servanthood. Hallelujah. I've repented before God and I said, Lord, I'm sorry for being blinded by the effect of servanthood. I'm not a slave of God. I'm a son of God. And all the people saved and are unsaved are children of God. So they're my brothers. If God so loved the youngest son that he was able to... You know, sometimes we want to say, well, God, let's give him 6 months to see if, you know, if he can do it before we give a party to him. Notice what God does, because this is a symbol of God in this story. God says, no, 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 let's do a party for him now. If only we had a heart of God, people would run towards us because they would feel this compassion. There are some people who are struggling in this world. And we don't agree with their behavior necessarily. But we're always ready and compassionate, just like Father, to receive them back and not be those oldest sons. The people out there who are on drugs, some have been infected with AIDS. Some are living all kinds of lifestyles. They need our Father. And you know what? Most of us Christians are a doorway to the Father. They look at us, and if they don't like us, if they think we're judgmental, religious, they think God is like that. But God is not like that. God loves as much unbelievers as believers. And He will love them and hope that they would get saved till the last day of their life. That's how compassionate He is. I want to be like God. Church, I want us to be like God. Models God is not looking for are those who are judgmental. Those who would say, hey, you're dirty. You've been with pigs. We don't need you. God cannot do anything for you. God is not looking for those kind of people. Hallelujah. God is not looking for Christians to model bad Christianity. God is looking for people to model His heart. So maybe you know some people who are not saved yet. Begin to pray for them. Begin to be compassionate towards them. Don't judge them and say, hey, you are a homo. And God cannot do anything for you. There is no chance for you. You're a druggie, you're whatever you are. No, God loves you. And He is with open arms. And I am the representative, so I'm here to receive you. Come to Jesus.